The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, April 8th, through Sunday, April 14th, 2024. The commentary for April was written by Lynn Frazier, a teacher, retired hospice palliative care chaplain, and avid recreational walker. A lifelong Episcopalian, Lynn attends St. Matthew's in Grand Junction, Colorado, where she has facilitated classes on the Psalms, the Parables, Civil Discourse, and Aging with Grace. The commentary for Monday, April 8th, the Feast of the Annunciation, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 30 to 31. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus." Today we celebrate the Annunciation, the announcement of the Incarnation, when Mary, a virgin, is visited by the angel Gabriel and learns she will conceive and bear a son to be named Jesus. Mary responds by singing a song known as the Magnificat. She has other glorious moments during her pregnancy and beyond, including Jesus' birth and experiences during his ministry. But Mary also confronts unspeakable political and cultural changes, culminating in the violent crucifixion of her son. Whatever the circumstances she encounters, Mary demonstrates to her world and to us an unwavering faith in God and an openness to God's grace. Even in the book of Acts, we find Mary involved with the early Christian community. The Annunciation makes possible our own experience of the Incarnation and our awareness of Christ within. In the collect for this day of Annunciation, we pray that God would pour grace into our hearts. May it be so. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. And the moving forward question for this Monday, April 8th, is what do you learn from the story of Mary? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, April 9th, the day on which we commemorate and recognize Dietrich Bonhoeffer. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. The Episcopal Church commemorates German theologian and pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer for his courage in publicly standing against the powers of Nazism. Considered an enemy of the state, Bonhoeffer traveled to the U.S. in 1939, where he could have remained, but instead chose to return to his homeland. The Gestapo arrested and imprisoned Bonhoeffer in 1943. He was executed with six other resistors on April 9, 1945, only 11 days before U.S. troops liberated the camp. Bonhoeffer's voluminous writings include my own well-read copy of Letters and Papers from Prison. Of the many notes I've made, I especially appreciate his observation that time is the most precious gift we have. A man of profound faith, Bonhoeffer lived Jesus' teachings fearlessly, leading services in prison and pastoring fellow prisoners as well as some of the prison guards. He continued preaching until his death, and his last words were, "This is the end for me, the beginning of life." And now I'm going to read from the full passage for today of the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 18 through 31. "I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe me. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us be on our way." And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, April 9th, is what does Bonhoeffer's life and death teach you about the cost of discipleship? The commentary for this Wednesday, April 10th, begins with a passage from the Book of Psalms, chapter 13, verse 2a. "How long shall I have perplexity in my mind and grief in my heart, day after day?" To complete the requirements for an academic course, I wrote a research paper on the Psalms. The professor of the class was a kind man and quite a brilliant scholar, widely respected for his writing about the Psalms. He was so intelligent that whenever I was scheduled to have a conference with him, I practiced everything I planned to say and ask. I worried anxiously about how he would assess my written work as I waited for a response. And waited. We were nearing the end of the semester, and he still hadn't returned the paper. As I saw him approach the pathway one morning, and with no preparation, I said, "How long, O esteemed professor, how long shall I have perplexity in my mind about your evaluation of my paper?" Smiling, he observed that there are many ways to pray the Psalms, and the divine mystery is not ours to solve. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of Psalm 13. "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, 'I have prevailed.' My foes will rejoice because I am shaken. But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." And the moving forward question for this Wednesday is, how do you handle anxious waiting? The commentary for Thursday, April 11th, begins with a passage from Psalm 18, verse 2a, "My God, my rock, in whom I put my trust." If you were to make a list of one or two word images you have for God, what would they include? If you were to tell a story about an incident in your life in which God has responded to prayer, what would you say? This psalm begins with a series of images of God that suggest great confidence. My strength, my shield, my crag, my haven, the horn of my salvation, my refuge. When in danger and distress, the psalmist calls upon God for help, a cry that reaches God's ears. The response from God sets off a series of vivid images. The earth reeling and rocking, coals blazing, heavens parting, God riding on a cherubim and flying on the wind, the foundations of the earth laid bare, all culminating in a dramatic rescue. The constant in this psalm, whatever the words and images, is the great confidence expressed in God, the unbridled faith. And now I'm going to read from the passage of Psalm chapter 18, verses 1 through 20. "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so that I shall be saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me. The torments of perdition assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress I called upon the Lord. To my God I cried for help. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked, because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils, and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. This darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He came swiftly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness in his covering around him, his canopy thick clouds dark with water. Out of the brightness before him there broke through his clouds hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightnings and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. He reached down from on high. He took me, he drew me out of mighty waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he recompensed me. And the moving forward commentary for this Thursday is, help provide forward day by day to all who request it. Your donations support our ministry of giving complimentary copies of Forward Day by Day to nursing homes, hospitals, and prisons. Scan the QR code on the inside cover of the magazine in order to share in this ministry, or you can Google forwardmovement.org. The commentary for Friday, April 12th, begins with a passage from Exodus 16, verse 23b. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath. The Jewish Sabbath is a day of holiness and rest, a sacred weekly observance on the seventh day of every week. For most Christians, following a long tradition of observing worship on Sundays, the Lord's Day took the place of the Jewish Sabbath, with Sunday set aside for prayer, worship, and a day of rest. Some religious and academic institutions make available sabbaticals for employees, extended periods off from regular work commitments with full or partial pay. In our contemporary era, work and life schedules don't always follow a traditional rhythm. That makes it even more urgent for us to intentionally set aside time to seek rest, reflection, and recreation on a regular basis. This time could be Sunday, another day of the week, a block of days, or even sacred time especially set aside within each day. Franciscan priest Richard Rohr has wisely suggested that unless we set aside at least one-seventh of our time for pursuits that are not self-centered and not about performance, we forget the purpose of our lives. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of Exodus 16, verses 23 through 36. And Moses said to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil, and all that is left over put aside to be kept until morning." So they put it aside until morning as Moses commanded them, and it did not become foul, and there were no worms in it. Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is Sabbath, there will be none." On the seventh day some of the people went out to gather, and they found none. The Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and instructions? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you food for 2 days. Each of you stay where you are. Do not leave your place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. The house of Israel called it manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. let an omer of it be kept throughout your generations, in order that they may see the food with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. And the moving forward question for this Friday is, when and how do you honor the tradition of Sabbath? The commentary for Saturday, April 13th, begins with the entire Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Laud him, all you peoples. For his loving kindness toward us is great, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Alleluia. Praising God is an essential, powerful part of our individual and communal prayers and songs. The Psalms of Praise provide a wondrous resource. Generally, these psalms include two elements, a summons to praise God and a reason or motivation to offer the praise. In a creative burst of spiritual efficiency, Psalm 117, the shortest psalm in the Psalter, manages to fit everything in with just two verses. First, the summons, praise God, all you nations, laud God, all you peoples. Second, the reasons, God's loving kindness toward us is great. God's faithfulness endures forever. Not only does this psalm fit everything in, but it also includes everyone in the process. All you nations and all you peoples, in our own divided nation and a world of divided nations, God's love, light, and faithfulness in this psalm extend to all. Alleluia. And I'm going to read from the Gospel for this day, April 13th, and it is from the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 16 through 33. A little while, and you will no longer see me, and again a little while, and you will see me. Then some of his disciples said to one another, "What does he mean by saying to us, 'A little while, and you will no longer see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father'?" They said, "What does he mean by this, 'a little while'? We do not know what he is talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Are you discussing among yourselves what I meant when I said, 'A little while, and you will no longer see me, and again a little while, and you will see me'? Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn, but the world will rejoice. You will have pain, but your pain will turn into joy. When a woman in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when her child is born, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy of having brought a human being into the world. So you have pain now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. On that day you will ask nothing of me. Very truly I tell you, if you ask anything of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures, but will tell you plainly of the Father. On that day you will ask in my name. I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I am leaving the world and am going to the Father." His disciples said, "Yes, now you are speaking plainly, not in any figure of speech. Now we know that you know all things, and do not need to have anyone question you. By this we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? The hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each one to his home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I have said this to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you face persecution, but take courage. I have conquered the world. And the moving forward question for this day, or the suggestion, is to write your own praise song and offer it to God. And as we near the end for this week's program, let's listen to the commentary for Sunday, April 14th. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke 24, verses 45 and 46. Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day." Jesus relates this vision of the scriptural basis for his pathway in a clear and straightforward manner. It involves suffering, death, and resurrection. He concludes with a blessing. His understanding, honesty, and courage offer encouragement for us to envision our own pathways. What I can say about my pathway is that I am going to die. I don't know when or how. There may be pain and suffering. But I have confidence in the availability and quality of support. It is my responsibility to continue working on issues relating to reconciliation and forgiveness, and to contribute all I can in a positive way to the lives of others. I am not fearless, but I trust in Jesus' assurance that God enfolds us in love. God enfolds us in love now and forever. It is a blessed assurance as we sing in the hymn, "This is my story, this is my song." Jesus' vision ends not with death, but with life. And the moving forward question for this day is, how do you envision your pathway? And that concludes all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let us pray. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.